Guys, I'm between jobs. I gotta pay rent. I need money. Subscribe to my Patreon, patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for this show, Paleo Bites. A little bit of bonus content for my show, The Ritwit, currently on indefinite hiatus. But mostly Paleo Bites stuff. And the Paleo Bites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about The Lost World Book 1995. Specifically, the Michael Crichton sequel to Jurassic Park, the book version. It's very confusing. He named it a title that's like other classic dinosaur story, and it's a sequel to another classic dinosaur story, but not the movie version, the book version. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the book version. It's very confusing. Why did you call it that? At least it's not as confusing as the movie version, where it's The Lost World, Jurassic Park. It should be the other way around! Anyways, we're talking about that Michael Crichton sequel to the Michael Crichton book, Jurassic Park. That's pretty good. You can definitely tell that the later Jurassic World movies, particularly Dominion, took a lot of inspiration from it. Link is in the description, where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for support. Have a good day. Help me pay rent, please! Ah, I don't want to get evicted!
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast that's Jurassic-kicking good. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I had a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I'm joined by someone who's also Jurassic-kicking good. It's Ben O'Regan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hi again, everyone.
That's good. Man. Last we heard you on the podcast proper, you had COVID. You're feeling better now, yes?
Yes, much better. And that was ages ago.
I know it was, but because the last episode we recorded together that was released was Australotitan, and you were pretty beat during that one.
That's right, and these do go out in a kind of random order, too.
In order, but they also come out like... It takes a while between each.
Editing and stuff to do.
Because since I record with a bunch of people and I don't want to have a bunch with one co-host in a row and then a bunch with another co-host in a row, I have a whole back catalog and then I just go and, I change the order around, So, hopefully I can record two with you today. We might be able to make that work if these are shorter, which I think we could probably do because I do need to get these done.
But we'll just cut the rambling down then.
And this is going to be the dice-related question, me just talking about the backstory behind how this show works. So I record recording two with you, but then I sometimes record like three or four with you, and then I'm recording four with someone else and four with someone else. And I've recorded all these, and so then that's just like, okay, this one, you're next, and then this co-host, and that co-host, and that co-host, and then...
Don't all come out and like, Ben. It might be like Ben, then another person,
yep,
and so on.
Yep. Ben, Christina, Lexi, Natasha, Ben.
Your nephew.
Natasha, Lauren, yep, all these other people. Yep, so that's kind of how it works. Also, I'm switching to Acast rather than Libsyn because apparently it pays a lot better and also it seems to be more popular and it pushes listeners further out, more out.
Is this the actual platform that it goes on beyond the website?
Yeah. So, this is how I'm hosting it. You can download it, at iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Amazon or Spotify, same as always, but
I thought you took it off Spotify, whichever one it was, because of the whole Rogan thing.
I put it back on. Honestly, I'm going to admit it, that was just me being like, everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, fair enough. I can understand knee-jerk reactions, I've done them often enough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of what Rogan says, but at the same time, I don't know, it's just...
I mean, I don't really listen to Rogan, but I'm pretty sure it's not necessarily all just stuff he believes, is that he also, he uses his platform, be it someone be left, right, or...
Oh, no, a lot of people have gone on to there, have done good... Neil deGrasse Tyson has gone on there, directors have gone on there, there's a reason why it's a big show.
Jordan Peterson and Alex Jones,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, unfortunately, people like Alex Jones have also gone on there, but,
Can't be helped when they're good friends or so, I hear.
That's when it gets bad, so... Anyways, so... I guess you could say, the whole thing... It's, just a whole bit of horny devils, wouldn't you say? And speaking of which, we're talking about...
Carnotaurus.
Yes, indeed.
Took your thunder this time. Don't worry, listeners, I'm not a douche.
Not always, but neither am I. But Oh, man. So it means meat-eating bull. Notice it ends in Taurus instead of Saurus. So I always thought that was kind of cool.
But like how some dinosaurs that have explicitly feminine names are named Sora, not Saurus. I used to think it was Myosaurus. It's Myosaurus.
Right, exactly. Can you imagine a Carnotaurus? That'd be interesting. But
wouldn't that mean meat-eating cow?
That would! You're right! Oh!
I wouldn't want to name a dinosaur there. That sounds like an insult. Like, oh, you cow.
Yeah, well, yeah, it does. Bulls, it sounds like, oh, it's so tough, cow. Yeah, it's, I guess it's the patriarchy at work. But, so.
I know, it'd be like, imagine you're a Carnotaurus and you're going into the DMV and then you have to speak to Janice the Carnotaurus at the friggin' DMV.
Exactly. Oh, that was, yeah, I get that. Or like a, yeah. Type, it is an Abelosaur theropod, of which this is by far the most famous one, although not actually the biggest. It is pretty big, though. It's 24.5 to 26 feet, slash 7.5 to 8 meters long, 1.5 to 2 tons.
Not quite as big as you see it in Disney's Dinosaur, but at the time, the remains were incomplete.
Oh, not at all. But, I don't mind the fact that they used it. It's a distinctive-looking dinosaur.
It's what popularized it.
Speaking of Myosaur, I have also learned that apparently that was supposed to be in Disney's Dinosaur 2. There was some concept art of it, but then for whatever reason they didn't use it.
Like we discussed with the special episode for that, I think it was, there was a whole bunch of stuff going for that. Like originally Paul Verhoeven was going to direct it was going to end with the asteroid hitting.
And when Paul Verhoeven directed it, I don't think it was even a Disney movie then, right? Didn't Disney kind of like take the rights of it? Or
Disney somehow ended up with it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like this, like, hey, this is going to be our next Disney movie. That's not how it started. So,
no, I'm not sure how that happened, actually.
Yeah. Anyways, time, late Cretaceous, 72 to 66 million years ago. So this was one of the ones at the end. Location.
Very successful, actually.
Oh, yeah. 6 million years. That's pretty good. Location, Argentina. Described in...
Going by where it is at the time period, there's a lot of people that might not know this, but earlier in the early and mid-Cretaceous, the Carnotaurids.
Yeah.
Not Carnotaurids, sorry.
Abelosaurids.
What's the name? Yeah, like Giganotosaurids and stuff.
Oh,
like
the Carcharodontosaurids, yes.
Yeah, brain was jumbled there, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Used to dominate, and they might have still been around in the late Cretaceous, but if they were, the fossil evidence doesn't really seem to support it, as far as I know. It seems like the Abelosaurs took over, a bit like how in the North, the Acrocanthosaurids died out, and the Cynraptors, and you had the Tyrannosaurids take over, which aren't Carnosaurs, they're Celurosaurs.
They're Celurosaurs, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And sort of like how, like, sauropods used to be all over, but then in the Cretaceous, they're pretty much only in Gondwana because the ornithopods, like the little duckbills and whatever, and the ceratopsians took over. So sometimes bigger doesn't always mean better.
Yeah, and then when you get to the end of the Cretaceous, though, they're coming back on, like, Hattag Island and the other European islands at the time, and then Alamosaurus is like, hello, all this continent are belong to us, to use old meme terminology.
Exactly. Well, Oh, that is such an old meme. Yeah. I love it, though. Alamosaurus, though, is an interesting one because, like, it's, like, the only... It's a long neck that lived at the time of T-Rex and place of T-Rex. A lot of people seem to forget that T-Rex did live with a long neck, but it wasn't designed to eat that, though. It was designed...
Yeah, it probably could have, though.
Probably could have, but I feel like it had to be desperate. It had to be a baby.
Or if they got that big jaw around the leg, just bit it, crunched, and then backed off. But I don't think they would have had that particular type of hunting method.
I feel like maybe, yeah, because like, it would have to be a baby and have to wrap it around the neck. Or like, because like, its jaws are meant for crushing rather than ripping. So that's why like the Carcharodontosaurs are meant
for
ripping.
Sort of like a crocodile's jaw.
Yeah. Carcharodontosaurs are meant for ripping, which is why they could nip at the leg and bring it down that way. So. Anyway, so Carnotaurus was described in 1985, pop culture appearances. It first appeared in the Jurassic Park sequel novel, The Lost World, which had the purely speculative ability to change colors like a cuttlefish.
And I'm pretty sure Crichton includes that as either being like from a frog or a cuttlefish or even a chameleon, just something Ingen filled the gaps with. But the whole point was, we don't know what these animals would have been like,
right.
So and it was out there as it may be.
And that was the inspiration for the Indominus in Jurassic World, which is cool. But as well as that, it famously appeared in Disney's Dinosaur, as we said. And like you said, its disappearance put it in the mainstream. It also appeared in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Jurassic World Dominion, Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous, Dinosaur King, Terra Nova, and the video game Zoo Tycoon 2, Ark Survival Evolved, Jurassic Park Builder, Jurassic World The Game, Jurassic World Alive, Jurassic World Evolution, and Dino Crisis 3. So.
Yeah. Dino Crisis 3, it wasn't in that?
Well, according to my research, it was.
Perfect.
My research for what pop culture it was in, it could be incorrect. So, because I've never played Dino Crisis 3.
And that's probably my fault. I didn't cover it very well when you and me did that podcast on Dino Crisis and stuff.
Back on the Patreon. So, yeah, wow, that's three Patreon episodes we've referenced that we've done just this episode. God, this is a real advertisement for my Patreon.
Sorry about that.
No, it's good. I like that. More money, please. the Abelisaurids were an interesting group of dinosaurs for many different reasons. One, they had puny arms, far smaller than even that of Tyrannosaurus's.
They're very primitive, too.
Yeah, unlike the Rex's arms, the Rex's had surprising strength in their arms. The Abelisaurids' arms, though, were completely useless, practically vestigial. And they lacked claws, and they probably would have completely atrophied had that blasted meteor hadn't hit.
There are some related species, I think, what they call the Noasaurids, which is like Meosuchosaurus, which we've also covered.
They did have
more functional arms, but even in them, the arms are bloody small.
Oh, absolutely. For the material we currently have, though, Carnotaurus, it's the biggest known Abelisaurid, but there are a few others with scant remains that might have been bigger or equal in size, such as Ecrixinatosaurus and Pycnonemosaurus. Those don't roll off the tongue quite the same way.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. I thought you were thinking of the Priscactars from Speculated Dinosaur Project for a minute. You know, the African kind of Abelisaurus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those are cool. No, I do know the Pycnonemosaurus. That one was recently introduced in, I think, Path of Titans in an update. So
I haven't that one played that or seen it or whatever it is.
I just saw an ad for it. I haven't played it either. But as well as being large for the family, Carnotaurus's most notable feature is its prominent pair of horns formed by the frontal bones of the skull, 6 inches in length apiece.
And very thick, scaly skin.
Yeah, that's true. They have like those scutes, kind of like a crocodile. Other than Ceratosaurus, which I guess were more like evolved crests, this is the only known theropod dinosaur with such a pair of horns. Although I guess like Ceratosaurus didn't have a brow horns, it had a nose horn. Sometimes its head...
Closely related to the ancestors of the... Abelisaurids, if they're not their actual ancestors.
Yeah, Ceratosaurus is an interesting group. Like, it's not as well known. Abelisaurids, like, you get into, like, that whole, what about the Neovenators and the Megaraptorans? And it's like, where are all these kind of linked in? Then the Megalosaurids.
And then you got other spotty groups here. Megalosaurids, as you said, which Spinosaurids apparently radiation.
They're apparently closely related, yeah. So, all these different groups. The Maniraptorans and the Celurosaurids, it seems to be more figured out where all those are all linked.
And even then, we're still a bit confused by the whole Dromaeosaurid-Troodontid split.
That's true.
Because they're similar, but not.
Well, then, like, you have the aforementioned Alvarezsaurids, where it's like, yeah, these are bird-like, but they're not birds? They're not fully birds? They seem to be on the same path, but not quite? I don't know. Like, and how do birds fit in? How does Archaeopteryx fit in? It's way earlier than all the others. Like
Archaeopteryx, I remember they used to think it was the first bird. Now, aren't we sure it's just the Dromaeosaurid?
I think it might be. I don't know if it's quite Dromaeosaurid, because like, no Jurassic Dromaeosaurid has been fully uncovered. I think Archaeopteryx is something else, but it's something like Coelophysis compsognathus. Hold on, let me check, actually.
Well, they did think one of the seven or eight fossils was a Coelophysis at first because it didn't have distinct enough feather imprints, and then they checked the bones and found that it had the helix claw like the raptors do, or whatever you call that bone that the claw is on.
Oh, yeah. On the second toe, the claw, the curved one. So it's in a group that's called the Paraves, which is like a big group. It's a big clade that also includes the Dromaeosaurids, Troodontids, Ankyornithids, and possibly the Scansoriopterygids, which that's what Yi is. Yi, the big bat one.
Yi the animal, not Yi the racist rapper. Whatever kind
of that's Ye.
Oh, it's Ye. I thought it was Yi.
Well, I think it's Ye because he's Kanye. And so I figured it was Ye, but maybe it isn't. I don't know. I also don't care.
Either way, let's not give that jackass attention.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think, to be fair, the dinosaur is pronounced E because it's Chinese. Just ee! anyways, Carnotaurus. The thing about these horns, of course, it's not really known what they're for. Apparently one crazy paleontologist was like, did they use it for hunting? But like, no, they were too short and blunt. And also, to be fair, there have actually been zero cases of horns being used specifically as an offensive weapon. They tend to be defensive. You're not used for hunting, so...
They could have been used in mating disputes between males, like not necessarily like ram type charging, like Pachycephalosaurids were speculated to have done, or some ceratopses. But you know, like trying to, like, where they circle around each other doing those circle dances. Some predators do, looking for an opening, and then they like whack each other in the flank.
Right, that's the thing, too. Also, keep in mind, the horns might have been longer in real life, because they might have had, like, a keratinous covering akin to bovid horns, you know?
True, that's something people forget about. Raptor claws, for example, they were big, but
yeah,
they,
the nail
bigger and longer, but they also wouldn't have been serrated, so they were probably more likely to grab in as a meat hook.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, they don't even think, or like, well, they used to think that you were used for slashing, but now they think
Grant even mentions it
in Dominion. That's where I was going to bring that up. Yeah. That he's like, now we think we just use it to puncture into the right in the throat. Yeah, so
I love that bit where he's just standing there looking around, and Beta just keeps appearing from the shadows, like trolling them, like it's looking for an opening. The pants.
Well, I also like when Owen and Maisie are doing the hand thing, and eventually Grant does it, and he's like, ah, it's like, oh, it's coming full circle. I love Dominion, man, it's great.
Yeah, again, we know people have problems with it, but we both liked it, and like father, like daughter with Aunt Maisie, there's no genetic match, but it doesn't matter. He's her dad.
Exactly, exactly. But here's the thing: in terms of ramming, it's been hypothesized that actually it might have helped with it. They might have been used to the distribution of the compressive forces without damaging the brain. Mm. So, like, also Kartos had a very short skull, like all Beelzords, but also a thick neck. That means there'd be less surface area to receive the shock and a stronger core to withstand it.
Yeah. So I remember there's been debates about how effective they were at hunting due to their teeth. Like, they're sharp, but they weren't very specialized or as like an Allosaurus and stuff. So maybe the neck was like they grab onto something and they go crocodile-like. Like, they use the neck to absorb the shock force, and they just sort of thrash the thing around and twist their neck to, like, rip the meat off.
Well, that's the thing, too. And also to help with their hunting, here's the thing about Kartos a lot of people tend to forget. It's fast.
Hmm?
It's actually one of the fastest theropods known. Like, studies have shown of its caudal and thigh muscles that could have reached speeds up to 35 miles per hour.
Bloody hell. That an apt comparison on mine, but I'd probably say that a bit cheater. Like, it was probably built for like as a pursuit hunter.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, because
ignoring whether it was a pack hunter or not, we will never know off a lot of that. But maybe they chased something down, and that's why they didn't have such specialization in their teeth. The whole idea was to get it down, then eat it.
Exactly. That's the thing. Kartos actually was pretty lightly built. It definitely wasn't as bulky. I mean, even regarding the size, it wasn't as bulky as it was in Disney's Dinosaur either. Like, it was more slender.
It's ironically, the shrink-wrapped versions, as they're often called in Jurassic Park, which underestimate the muscle mass and stuff, would probably be a lot closer to its actual.
Yeah, the Jurassic Park ones, like the ones in Fallen Kingdom onwards, they're much closer to being accurate. They're still a little bit too big, but they're much closer in size than Disney's Dinosaur, so. Yeah.
And for people that aren't familiar with shrink-wrapping, because we might as well include this, that's more reference to what you see in a lot of games and especially earlier stuff from the 80s and 90s where while the dinosaurs were getting more accurate, like they weren't sprawling or tail dragging slow dumb idiots anymore, they often don't estimate enough of the muscle and actual skin buildup on the animal, so it's almost just like the bone impressions with skin lightly pulled over.
Yeah, it just, like if you look at the T-Rex head in Jurassic Park, particularly the first one, you can see the shape of the skull, including like the holes in it.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, it's something I don't mind because I'm so bloody used to it. I actually have trouble adjusting to more accurate.
That's the thing, I'm used to. Like, if you see the more accurate T-Rex in, like, Prehistoric Planet from earlier this year, it's chonkier, and I'm not quite used to it. I'm like,
yeah, same here.
It looks too friendly. It looks like I could give it a big old hug, like, but I'm sure it's more accurate.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're more likely just to see people getting really aggro over on the more hardcore part of the paleo artists and dinosaur fans, you know, just the ones
I get
they're
not
bad people, but it's the stop having fun guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, the paleo community. No community, especially on Twitter, is immune to toxicity. Like, I've seen people say the inaccurate portrayals of dinosaurs in the Jurassic World franchise is basically like blackface. I'm like, oh my god.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous.
That is so ridiculous. Oh my god, they're movies. They're not documentaries. Calm down. And even if they were documentaries, that's not the same.
Trust Twitter to have bloody idiots on it.
Yeah, anyways. Well, let's rate Carnotaurus 1 out of 65 million. I'm going to give it like a
55 on my end.
I'm going to give it a little bit higher. I'm going to give it like 56 or 67 million. I think probably because it made such an impression on me as a kid in Disney's Dinosaur. Especially considering they called it just Carnotaur in that, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, like the reason I'm writing it down is because I already have a favorite South American theropod, and I'm not letting this skinny bugger take its place.
you're not giving this any room. Giganotosaurus is in its own corner, and Carnotaurus is just over there, pouting and crossing its tiny arms. Well, I can't do that. Imagining that it's crossing its tiny arms. It's ironic, they probably never really met, because I think Carnotaurus is from a lot later.
Yeah, so I think there's like a 10-20 million year period in between, mid to versus late.
Shame. Oh, man. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdoncreator.com for any questions to me or any of the co-hosts. You can find me on social media at matthewdoncreator on Facebook and matthewdon64 everywhere else. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. Did I use Carnotaur? I know I did in the earlier ones with the ones that you read with Saro or whatever.
Yeah, and the clone army and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know if I had a Carnotaur in the... I mean, if I did, it wasn't a major character. I don't know. I probably did. Hold on. This is bothering me. How did I not use Carnotaurus?
Could have sworn you...
Oh, wait. I did use it. According to this, apparently, in one of the first scenes of the first chapter, the bounty hunter, Andra, goes into a place and enters, like, a code to someone who's at the shop to go to the secret base, and there's a Carnotaurus there. So.
You also used it on the Mars battle in the very first version of Mrs. Alt with the clone army. And then I think Albert trapped one of them in one of those shield bubbles they used and sent the poor bugger flying off into space to suffocate.
I do not remember that, but I believe that sounds like something I would have written.
That was dark.
That sounds like something I would have written. So, like,
well, this is the same book that had a psychotic robot that created a nuclear coffee bomb.
I remember that.
I think that was my idea, wasn't it?
probably. I don't know. Yeah. I also have another podcast called The Writ Wits, Two Twits Talk About Writing. Currently on definite hiatus, but hopefully it'll come back. But that's it for this week. It's at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites. Just the Carnotaurus roar from Dinosaur.
I don't know what that sounded like.
You know, honestly, I see this thing looking more like just bulldog barking. Like,
well, apparently even if suggests dinosaurs didn't have typical vocal cords, so they probably would have made horrible bird-like squawks, at least in the Predators, and rumbling.
I don't know if I believe that, because crocodiles also have throaty growls.
Well, that's what I was getting to, but I mean, you wouldn't have had anything like the famous Tyrannosaur growl from roar from Jurassic Park.
Well, I mean, to be fair, animals rarely roar. Even in modern day, like, tigers are, like, one of the only animals that roars. Even then, they only do it rarely. In fact, most times in movies, when you hear a lion roar, it's actually usually a tiger roar.
Yeah, and when the lion does roar, it's generally the male, and it's usually a warning, like, other horny males, this is my territory, stay away from my woman, basically, is how it comes out.
And it's usually much weaker sound. It sounds nothing like it does in The Lion King. Anyways, bye.